Of all the fancy gatherings that I've ever attended over the years, the BC Leadership Prayer Breakfast in Vancouver has got to be in the top five. That's right, the BC Leadership Prayer Breakfast. Who would imagine a prayer breakfast as a high-class event? Well, each time I attended, it was hosted in a swanky downtown Vancouver hotel ballroom. The head table was always littered with an assortment of local and provincial politicians, and the tables on the floor were all sponsored by prominent businessmen. But what I remembered most was that after everyone had gathered, after the event speaker was seated, we were still kept waiting. Why were we kept waiting? I mean, it's 7:30 in the morning. Let's get on with this. Well, all of a sudden, the whole room stood up from their tables as the lieutenant governor entered the ballroom. When she was finally seated, things could begin. Now, for me, it was an interesting study in status and protocol. There was a head table with an obvious pecking order. While I was seated far away from the front, I wasn't suffering. I mean, our table of 10 had two waitresses assigned to serve us exclusively. No one questioned this arrangement. It's an arrangement that's replicated by varying degrees at almost every formal celebration we attend. Right? All the weddings, all the banquets, same thing happens, right? I'm sure you'll agree, we believe that all people are equal, we just believe that some people deserve more honor than others. Well, today's gospel lesson challenges this. Today, we heard how Jesus' disciples had settled down for supper. Sometime while they had their heads in their bowls, Jesus got up, found a towel and a basin, and started making his way around the table, washing their feet one by one. It seems that when they arrived for dinner, no servant was provided to assist the disciples with this duty, and foot washing was, well, it's not just the sort of thing that anyone would volunteer for. I mean, some Jews wouldn't allow their Jewish slaves to do it. I mean, it was something for someone beneath a Jewish slave, maybe a Gentile slave. Peers certainly didn't wash each other's feet unless they wanted to express some sort of extreme devotion. And so I'm sure that when they entered the home and noticed that no servant was there to help them, someone made the split decision that they were all clean enough, that they were all hungry enough, that they could just move straight into the meal. And everyone followed. But there in the middle of the meal, Jesus, the light of the world, started performing this menial duty for them. Well, if this was not something the disciples would do for each other, it was not something that they would let their teacher, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, do for them. So when Jesus approaches Peter, Peter protests, "Lord, you're not going to wash my feet ever." Jesus responds, "If I don't wash you, you can't be part of what I'm doing." And so Peter quickly reconsiders. "Not only my feet, then, wash my hands, wash my head." Now, in this foot washing, Jesus demonstrates what he has already done in the incarnation, and he foreshadows what he will do in his passion, in his death. Consider those words from that hymn in Philippians. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to those advantages. But when the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. At dinner, Jesus performs the duties of a slave to remind the disciples the shape and the content of his ministry. And then he leaves us, with the command to do the same. Not just to periodically and sort of symbolically take on some menial task to demonstrate that we take Jesus' words seriously. I mean, just watch the news. During Holy Week, in a number of churches, the minister, even the Pope does this actually, will demonstrate his or her great humility by publicly washing a few pairs of dirty feet. That same tokenism happens in the military. Happens in the military during Christmas. At the annual soldiers' dinners, the top leaders will swap ranks with a couple privates. I mean, it's fun, but just for the meal, right? Of course, Jesus isn't asking us for symbols or tokens. What Jesus is calling for is something considerably more difficult. He's looking for a new outlook and a new attitude. A new outlook and a new attitude, one that puts another's needs before ourselves. This is a challenge, right? It's a challenge for a church that has often been shaped more by its me-first culture in which it's sitting than by its servant Savior. When we notice a need in our community, maybe someone needing a ride, or a sidewalk needing shoveling, or a senior needing help getting into an elevator, or a new parent just needing a babysitter for a few hours, what's our first inclination? Well, our first inclination is to ignore it. I've already got pressing responsibilities. I've got things I've got to do. Our second inclination is to pin it on someone else. Well, whose job is this anyways? I mean, couldn't their parents jump in if they needed a babysitter? It seems that only our last and final inclination is to actually do something about it. So why is this the last and final inclination? Well, because it's more difficult, right? It means stepping out of our neat and tidy world of our own needs and purposes. It means stepping out of our neat and tidy world about how we think things should be done. It means stepping out of our safe world into the scary and dangerous world of serving humans, serving their needs, getting our hands dirty. Well, Jesus tells us that this last inclination is to be our first ethic. Jesus tells us that this sort of humble service and caring will in fact be the calling card of his community. We might resist the thought, especially when we are confronted with the smelly feet of others. But when we spend a few moments thinking about Jesus, how Jesus has approached us in our need, gently unlacing our sandals, lovingly wiping away the dirt and the grime, carefully drying the water between our toes, when we think about how Jesus has served us in his incarnation and his death and resurrection, well, then serving others isn't actually as hard as it seems. There are, in fact, as he promised, many blessings to be found. Well, may we all choose to welcome this calling. And here in the city of Kamloops, May St. Andrew's be known for its love. Amen.